hold this, we don't hold it against the Sunni, we hold it against the criminal, or they could be from this sect or that sect.
So,
thank you very much.
Brother, may I ask a question?
Sure.
You're from Iraq. Do you agree with me? And by the way, what you said, I agree with you 100%. Do you agree with me that those people who want to have problems in Iraq, if the issue wasn't Shia or Sunni, they would have found another issue, geography, race, whatever they can, but the most convenient for them was Shia or Sunni?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely, I agree with that totally.
Yeah, and that's the point.
I'm sorry,
the other point that I wanted to ask you, you said something very beautiful, which is, you know, the Sunni brothers love Imam Ali, alayhi salam. They love us, we can get along with them. But you said there are elements who want to create problems. Brother, I want us to have courage to talk about who those elements are. They are Baathists. Right, brother?
I'm sorry?
I want us to have courage to identify who those elements are. I agree with you, especially the Shias, the Sunnis in Iraq, they were an example of unity with Shias. The Sunnis and Shias were an example of unity. But what happened that ignited that thing? It is, let's agree with them, agree that first the Baathists wanted to do that, and second the Salafis got involved. And because the Shias and Sunnis were ignorant about each other, they were able to use this weapon against us.
You are exactly right, brother. Thank you very much for this enlightenment. But I think the process of trying to ignite this is way, way beyond the starting of the division. Billions of dollars was spent to create this division in Iraq while the dictator was there.
It continues to be spent.
And continues to be spent, you're right. But at that time, we are not inspired that all that money spent, we are not seeing the fighting, which was started way, way, way before that.
So,
thank you very much.
I think we have some sisters, there's a sister in the back, and then we have got a brother in the front here, and then we will conclude. We don't want to take.
Assalamualaikum. I think, first of all, this is a wonderful, wonderful event. I think we need more of these. And I just had a question as far as, being graduated from college and having siblings or friends in college. Students to like community, everyone's facing these problems where, you know, with Iraq given that, wait, you're Shia, I'm Sunni, what is the difference? And you know, you follow this, I follow this, or it's just a constant battle back and forth. And I think the best thing would be to clear the differences and the similarities and agree to disagree. And given that, I mean, and given the fact that this is held at a Shia masjid, and the speakers are Shia. I was just wondering, amongst our community, I mean, amongst today's event, how many members do we have that are like Muslim or Sunni that are here to also listen to the Shia point of view? Because I just sometimes feel like we talk to ourselves.
No, I think we've got a good crowd, alhamdulillah, and you know, we've got some brothers and sisters here who we're honored with their presence, and we feel that sometimes, even when it's sometimes logical to say that if you're going to have a Sunni-Shia dialogue, then let us invite some Sunni speakers to come, and that's correct. But I also think that charity begins at home, meaning if we're going to start talking about it, sometimes it's more important to discuss this issue among your own people and say, listen, even without the Sunnis coming, if, assuming there was no Sunni speaker present, there was no Sunni in the crowd, we don't need to patronize or pander to our Sunni brothers because they are our brothers to begin with. And we will protect their interests even if they are not here. And we will speak well of them even if they are not here. Because our differences should not be the cause of all this problem. So I think you're correct that sometimes we do speak to each other, but I feel that if we don't change our own attitudes, let's say I'm a Shia, and if I don't change my attitude and among my own brethren, then don't expect a Sunni brother on the other side to see us with goodness, because sometimes we don't play our roles properly, and as brothers mentioned, it is ignorance on both sides of this so-called divide that's allowing the enemy to come and create this schism, as we call it. So I hope that we can remove this problem, but I'm sorry, I interject.
Do Sunni brothers and sisters or from their masjid have such events? because I just sometimes feel like when we talk about unity, I feel that we will never have unity. And because it seems like we're always taking our step forward to say, okay, please understand us. But whereas the other side, when they talk about unity, they say, okay, let's just leave it at one level and unite.
Sister, thank you for your comments and questions. They show a lot of intellect, actually, and proactivism. I come from Minnesota. I live in Minnesota, and I can tell you that the Sunni masjids hold such events, and they invite Shias to them. But we face two problems. These events, when we have Shia and Sunni speakers, they either are too polite, politically correct, sickening, because we don't learn anything about each other. We get up walking away from each other saying, we love each other, we hug each other, let's walk away, there are no problems. We lie to each other. Or on the other side, and I had some of those debates, both kinds, recently, where we said we agreed we're going to have a theological discussion. And as soon as I opened my mouth about the wilaya and the meaning of wilaya, the other brother, an Egyptian brother, said, you guys are killing us in Iraq. You can't have a debate with that. Iraq is a problem for us, and Iraq fuels the problem. We have to separate it. You said the most important thing, in my opinion, that you said, sister, is that college students, in other words, our young people, have questions. They have a lot of questions. Who are the Shias? What are Sunnis? What do both sides believe? And if we elect to ignore the problems and the differences, they will go and learn from the internet or from Fox News. They will not stop. They will not say, you know, the older people told us we shouldn't discuss this. They will go and learn because younger people are the ones who create revolutions. Younger people are the ones who believe in prophets and messages. Younger people are the ones who change the course of history. And they do that because they do not put intellectual limits on themselves. So we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to them to actually, in fact, I was thinking about this. We should all produce a document like we have in Shia Islam houses. We have a book that all marriages have to produce. It's called the Urwa al-Wuthqa, which is beautiful. It has a fatwa. And each one of the marriages, the big scholars, would have their comments on it. This is my view, this is my view, this is my view. They have differences, but we don't have problems with those differences. We read them and say, okay, let's see his views here. No, we should do the same thing between Shias and Sunnis. We should produce a document that says, these are our positions. They're different, but these are our positions so that the younger people and the outsiders can take these documents, study them, and respect us after they have them.
And that's the problem we face in MSAs, that when you put a book in there, being a Shia student, if you place a book in the MSA office, you're automatically reported to the imam of the community there, and it's removed. How do we approach the MSAs? Because I think that's essential, and I think we need more talks like this, where the students are willing to listen. And the Shia students can only go so far, being a student amongst another student, to try to explain themselves, when maybe it might be a different approach when like a speaker like yourself would approach at an event. I just don't know if that would be a better solution.
I agree with you, Sister Yung, that the reason behind fear of knowing about the other is actually a fear of shortcoming. That I'm afraid